Blog Talk Radio.
Good to be with so many of God's people. Let me get plugged in. We'll get started. All right. Well, we are live on the internet. We want to thank God for those who are tuning in and for those who will tune in, whether it be this morning in August or whether it be sometime later on. It might be years from now. Somebody might find this online, and it might help them in their understanding of God's way versus man's way. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. We'll be right back in our series on getting to know Jesus. And I hope y'all aren't getting tired of this thing, because we're going to be in it for quite some time. I know I'm not tired of it. I've enjoyed every single sermon that the Lord has allowed me to preach. I've enjoyed each study as I've gotten ready to preach. And I hope it's a blessing to you. I want to be a blessing more than anything. Matthew chapter 7, as we're still in the Sermon on the Mount, I want you to understand the Lord is coming to the close of this message. We'll have this morning's message and then next Sunday's message, and we'll be completely through the Sermon on the Mount. All right? But the Lord is going, the Lord is giving instruction. He's taught all kinds of things about how we're to live, about how we're to serve God, and especially how we are to treat others, how we're to walk as Christians and believers. We've learned a lot of things from the Lord in this one message. It's not all his preaching he's going to do. We're going to get more preaching as we continue getting to know Jesus and going through his going through the Gospels and going through his earthly life. And folks, this morning he's going to give us a warning. God, at this point, the Lord sends up a red flag of warning. And Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 15 through 33. 15 through 23. There is no 33. But anyway, we're going to read 15 through 23 this morning. And let's read. The Bible says, "Beware," Jesus said, "of false prophets." That's false preachers, folks. That's not just some old bearded man in a robe somewhere. I want you to understand that this is not something Jesus warned about people that was just around in his day. These are anybody who claims to speak for the Lord, except they're not speaking for the Lord, they're only pretending to. Amen? "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." That word ravening means hungry, starving, ready to eat, ready to tear something to pieces. Ravening wolves. He said, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." You remember what John the Baptist said when the Pharisees came out to be baptized to him? And he said, "Bring forth fruits, meat for repentance." In other words, I want to see something in you that shows that you are born again. And Jesus is telling them that you will know false preachers by the things that they do and the things that they say. He said, "Do men gather grapes of thorns?" Well, I can't tell you that I picked a lot of grapes. I mean, they had a lot of grapes over in Israel, and that was something everybody over there was pretty used to doing. But as far as in America, and especially here in Texas, this part of the country, you don't find a whole lot of grapes. When I was growing up a kid, you know, my older kinfolk, they'd go up in the country and pick muscadines. And I can tell you there weren't no thorns on them muscadine vines. Amen. There's no thorns on a grapevine. He said, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I've been around a lot of fig trees, never seen a thistle on a fig tree. He said, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. In other words, a false teacher is not going to speak for the Lord. Amen? And a God-called, Bible-believing man of God is not going to preach you false doctrine. It's as simple as that. Amen. Thank God for the rain. Amen. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, help us this morning. Lord, as we approach, Lord, your throne to be taught of you, Father. Father, I thank you for the bread of life. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the instruction that we get from it. But Lord, this morning, as well as instruction, we get stern warning from you. And Lord God, I pray that our hearts would be sensitive to what you're saying to us this morning. Father, I pray that we not be distracted by anything this morning. Lord, make us realize that you are so much more important, so much more vital to us than anything, any thought. Lord God, I pray that you make us realize that we're to give you everything we are and everything that we have. Lord, even distractions. Father, that we put things before you when we pay more attention to things. Lord God, I pray that our minds, our hearts, our beings, everything be centered and focused on the Word of God today. Lord, as you cry out, Lord, to us, the dangers that are all around us. Lord, that we might learn, that we might know the right way from the wrong. Lord, that we might be careful to warn others around us who are headed down wrong paths, Lord, that lead to destruction. Father, help us this morning to realize we're to be watchmen. We're, Lord, to watch out for those around us, Lord, who are falling prey to those who've been deceived by the devil and his workers. And, Lord, we're to give them stern warning to come out of it, lest it be too late for them. Lord God, I pray you'd help us this morning. Give me grace and power to preach today. Lord God, I pray for the ones who listen. I pray you'd give them Holy Ghost power to receive it. Lord God, I plead with you to save the sinner nearest hell this morning. I pray, Lord, this morning that you work in a heart and show them that they're lost and undone without you. But, Lord, I pray you comfort the saints of God this morning. I pray you, Lord, you reaffirm in our hearts, Lord, that we're yours. And, Lord, that we're not to worry because you've got us. Father, please help us now. Help me preach. Lord, I don't want to do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I turn myself over to you. And I ask you to fill me and speak through me and use me for Christ's glory this morning. And I give you thanks, Lord, for being so good to me and working in my life. And, Lord, I just praise you. I give you glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for bleeding and dying for me. Thank you, Lord, for being raised from the dead, Lord, that I might have life everlasting. I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Father, that you don't judge me by my sin. You judge me by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. All right. Again, he said, beware of false prophets. Can I tell you that as he was saying that, there were some in the crowd. There were Pharisees there that day. There were Sadducees there that day. There were those who knows where they came from, who knows what they'd been a part of. But I can tell you this, those who came seeking salvation from them from him that day got saved. Amen? But there were some that day who heard who were not saved. There were some that day, the Bible says he healed them all. Those who came hungry for the Lord's help got the Lord's help. But there were those who simply came to hear. And the Lord's warning these who got help. He's warning these who are born again now. These are babes in Christ who just got saved, whose lives had just been changed, who'd been raised up from their bed of sickness, who'd been delivered from the torments of their demonic possession. Listen, they are brand new in Christ, and he's given them stern warning. And I hearken back to what we read in chapter 7, verse 7, where he told us, you know, where he said, judge not lest you be judged, and he's warning us about hypocritical judging. But I'm going to tell you something. He wants us to judge. If we don't judge, we can't tell what's good or bad. He told us, by their fruits you shall know them. I tell you right now, I wouldn't want to go buy produce from a man who couldn't tell a good apple from a bad apple, who couldn't tell a rotten tomato from the one that was fresh, amen, who couldn't tell hard, dried out, woody okra from real good tender okra. I wouldn't want to buy from somebody like that, amen. We're to be fruit inspectors. We're to look, and he said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Amen. He said, beware of them which come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, we've all seen the image of that, a wolf with sheep's skin over it. Listen, but that's exactly what he wanted them to understand. He's giving us instruction. We're sheep. Amen. We're sheep. Sheep are followers. They're born followers. Sheep need a leader. And so people look for a leader. People look for somebody to give them instruction, to give them guidance. Yes, we need the Lord most of all. We're to follow him. But we're not to follow anybody else that's not following him. And how do we determine whether they're following him or not? The only way we can determine is to look at their fruits. Amen? Are they using this book right? There are people, listen to me, there are people who are false prophets who preach right out of this book, but they twist it. They manipulate. Folks, the Lord wants us to understand and not just be blind and not just be simple-minded and just wander right on into trouble, wander right on into deception, because, folks, we are sheep. We must be, he said, be you wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That wise as serpents, listen, a snake's very careful in where he goes. He's very careful in where he chooses to go. You don't see snakes a lot. If you do, you need to move, amen. But we don't see snakes a lot, amen, because you know why? They're sneaky in where they go. They're careful in the path that they take, amen. It's very unusual you see a snake just up on the sidewalk somewhere. Usually they're slithering through grass and trying to stay out of and not be detected. Listen, we're to be careful as we navigate through this world, just like that snake travels through the grass, through the yard. We're to be careful of the path that we take, and we're to be careful who we follow. We're not to just do things just willy-nilly however, amen. Amen. He said, you shall know them by their fruits. So I want us to look this morning. I want us to look, because listen, this is the first time in the Bible that we're warned in the New Testament about false teachers. But it's not the only warning. It's one of many, and we're going to look this morning. This is going to be more like a Bible study than a message, but I'm sure there's plenty of sermon in it too. But this is the first of many warnings on this topic in the New Testament. Christ and the apostles, they didn't neglect the ministry of discernment. They wanted us to be able to discern, to be able to tell the difference, amen? And they didn't neglect the ministry of warning. And as believers, we're to be warners, amen? We're to be winners and to be warners, amen? Practically every epistle in the New Testament has some type of warning against false teachers. And we're going to look at that this morning. So I want you to, you got your Bible open. We're going to go kind of on a Bible drill through here, and we're going to look at these passages of Scripture and see what the Lord has to say to us on it. But the Lord and His disciples, they taught us to be constantly on guard against spiritual deception. Everywhere around us. I mean, you could sit this morning in a recliner and go through the channels, and you'd find spiritual deception. Folks, let me just give you a little heads up. If they've got enough money to be on broadcast TV, you better watch them. And I don't mean watch them as in turn them on, sit glued to the TV. I mean you better be careful. Amen. If they're able to put their message out on broadcast TV and nobody have a problem with it, you better watch it. As in, be careful. Amen. Because listen to me, they're out there. They're everywhere. We were just talking on the way to church this morning on the bus about false teaching. And folks, it's all around us. It's in our towns. It's in our neighborhoods. It's surely on the television set. And the Lord has told us to beware of them and to warn about them. And that's a fundamental part of the Christian life and our ministry as believers. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 20 this morning. Acts chapter 20. I'll turn over these places with you, and that way we can find them together. Acts chapter 20. I have got a cheat sheet up here, but I think I'll turn with you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. If you'll stay with me on this, you'll learn something this morning. Amen. Acts chapter 20. The Bible says, starting in verse 28, the Bible warns us, it says, take heed or pay attention, therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. This is almost, it's kind of a warning to pastors. Now, he's going to start with the pastor first, and he says, the preacher better take care of himself. He better watch himself and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, what are we going to teach? What are we going to feed the flock with? We're going to feed the flock the bread of life. Amen. Not bring in the candy-coated things of the world. Not throw out the little sugary bits that the devil gives you that makes people ooh and ah, but to give them when I think of that, I think of Joel Osteen up there with his mumbo-jumbo preaching this, yay, man, get after it, your wonderful best life now. Listen, if Joel Osteen's living his best life now, that means he's surely going to hell, because I'll tell you right now, my best life ain't in this one. My best life's coming after I die. Amen, or I'm translated up in the air. Amen. That's when I'm going to live my best life. Amen. This ain't it. Praise God. But anyway, he said to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They'll come right up into the church. He knew that. You know why? There were Judaizers following him around everywhere he went. They were trying to destroy what God had him building. You know, it almost seems like, well, why wouldn't God stop that? Why wouldn't God put a stop to those people? Why would God allow that to continue to happen? You can say, well, why didn't God just destroy the devil immediately? Can I tell you something? God wants us locked into what he's saying, locked into what he's doing, locked in, following him and proving that he is able to give us victory in the midst of all of this. Amen? That's why. And he said, they won't spare the flock. They'll destroy the church. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise. I mean, people you've known, they'll get off on something. Amen? They'll get caught up in something and they'll speak. He said, speaking perverse things. Now, what does he mean perverse? Does he mean they're talking nasty words and talking things of an adult nature? No, that's not what he means. He's perverting God's word, changing God's words. I talked about twisting Scripture a while ago. That's what they'll twist the Scripture and other, to make it say what they want it to say. Amen? To draw away disciples after them. So what will they do? Men will build themselves up. Can I tell you something? I've seen that happen in Baptist churches. I've seen that happen with men of God who spoke the truth, and they, in their position and their power and their influence went to their head, and they changed what they preached in order to draw people to follow them. I could name names this morning of people I've been close to who've done that, but I'll neglect that because y'all ain't no danger of them anyway. So, but anyway, we've got to be careful who we follow. Listen, men seek prestige. Men seek position. Men seek power. Men seek authority. Listen, it's not, the messenger is just the messenger. He's just a vessel, praise God. He's nothing without the message inside of him, amen. But they draw disciples after them. He said, therefore, watch how you do that. You better know Jesus. You better get to know the Lord. You better know his word. You better know his way. Amen. He said, for I cease not to warn. He said, remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Why? Because Paul knew what was going to happen when he left. He tried to get them to understand what was going to happen as soon as he left. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God, or I turn you over to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified or set apart by God. Notice what he said. I coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. I wasn't there. I wasn't a prosperity preacher trying to get a payment made on my Rolls Royce. Amen. I saw that this week on Facebook. Some black preacher up north, he begged the congregation to take up an offering so he could make his payment on his Rolls Royce. Tell you something, that's, God help. Paul said, I didn't do that. I wasn't there trying to take your stuff. Now, was it right and proper for them to give him an offering and help him along the way? They that preach the gospel should live with the gospel. That's what the Bible says. But a man of God should not be trying to take as much as he can extract from his congregation and live fat and sassy like he's the king of all creation. I'm going to tell you right now, that happens though. You ought to look at the houses of these televangelists. You ought to look at the airplanes they own. Look at the billion-dollar estates that they have. I mean, or at least Kenneth Copeland claims to be a billionaire. Joel Osteen is a multimillionaire. Benny Hinn, a multimillionaire. T.D. Jakes, a multimillionaire. And I could go on and on and on and on talking about all these folks, but I ain't got time to get into all of them. He said, now, brethren, I commend. Okay, I read that one. All right. Hey, verse 34, he said, yea, ye yourselves know that with these hands have ministered unto my necessities. I worked and took care of myself and of them that were with me. He said, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And oh, if you got people in church that can't support themselves, then the church ought to get together to help those who are struggling. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus. In other words, it's not about money and greed and power. Said it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's the prosperity preacher warning right there in the Bible. You say there was prosperity preaching back then? You betcha. Amen. It's always been nothing new under the sun, folks. The Bible is just as real, just as alive, and just as pertinent today in 2017 as it's ever been. Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Beware of false prophets. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn quickly, because I'm going to turn quickly and get there. Chapter 15 and verse 12. One verse of Scripture. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, and listen, it's because of that we have hope, right? If Christ never rose from the dead, what's the point? Amen? Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you in your church that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know where that came from? That came from the Sadducees. That came from the Judaizers that followed Paul and crept into the church and began to tell everybody, listen, y'all believe in this resurrection stuff. It's nonsense. It ain't no resurrection of the dead. We die, we're all dead. That's it. That's what they preached. That's what they taught. Somebody said they were called the Sadducees. They didn't believe that there's no life after death. That's why they were so sad, you see. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I'll put it this way. The faster you turn, the faster we get done. Amen. Sound like a fan in here in a minute, probably. But 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 4. Now, I want you to note something in this first statement Paul makes. He says, in my folly. I want you to understand the tone that he's using. You know, it's good to read and understand the tone of somebody. It's understand the place, the setting, the people that he's speaking to. You need to understand these things so you can discern what it's saying. But Paul is addressing the church at Corinth again. And in this letter, there are people who have attacked his apostleship. They've said he's not really an apostle. They've tried to destroy his credibility. And Paul says to them, he says, would to God, or he said, I wish to God you would help, you would bear with me a little. Put up with me just a second in my folly. In other words, he's not saying I'm telling you a joke, but I'm kind of giving you something ridiculous to make you see this. That's what he's trying to say. He said, bear with me a little in my foolishness or my ridiculousness. He said, and indeed, bear with me, for I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. Can I tell you something this morning? As your pastor, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. When I look out and I see people who don't look to me like they're paying attention, it gets under my skin because I want you to get something from God. It's not that I'm mad at you, but well, when I look out and I see somebody looks like they're absolutely ignoring, and maybe you're listening, but I want you to hear. I want you to get it. I want God to ring a bell down in your heart and make you realize, hey, you need this more than you need anything. So he says, I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, we know about women getting married. They wear what? They wear a white wedding dress. And that white wedding dress is supposed to be representative of purity. Some of them need to be married in sackcloth and ashes. But I'm telling you, it's supposed to represent a pure virgin ready to be married to her husband and to be only his, okay? And he's saying, I'm presenting you to Jesus as a chaste virgin. Why? You look and say, well, I'm not perfect. Lord knows I've messed up. But you've been washed as white as snow in the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't change just because you fall down again. God's forgiveness doesn't go away. It's not temporary. He said, I've washed you. I didn't wash you. Jesus did. But you're clean now, and I want to present you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that's the way I want to present you. He said, but I fear. I have this fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve or deceived Eve through his subtlety. Now, how did he do it? What did Satan do? He said, yea, hath God said? He questioned God. He said, look at that fruit over there. It's good. It's good to eat. Why would God hold back something from you? Oh, God knows. God knows if when you eat it, you'll be like him, and he don't want you to be like him. He twisted God's plan. He twisted God's word through his subtlety. He didn't come at her screaming at her, trying to shove the fruit down her throat. No, he talked her into it. He deceived her with his words. And that's exactly the way false prophets do. They know if they come at you and they say, Jesus ain't the way to heaven. The way is through working your way there. The way is through doing this over here or that over here or following me. People are going to go, wait a minute, that's not what Paul taught. That's not what Jesus said. They have to deceive you sneaky. They have to be deceptive in their words. They have to draw you in and get you to believe in that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Listen, isn't that what Eve did? She was disagreeing with the only two other persons there, which was her husband and God. But God, that's who's more important than her husband, but she ultimately defied not only her husband but God himself. How'd it happen? Through subtlety, sneakiness. And he said, I fear so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And what is he referring to? He's referring to those challenging the authority of the Word of God. Folks, look up here and listen to me. There are people all over this country who are challenging the authority of the Word of God. You say, how are they doing it? Well, they do it when they okay and say, oh, you know, people just need to just love one another. It doesn't make any difference if you're a man who loves a man or if you're a woman who loves a woman. People all just be able to love who they want to love and marry who they want to marry. And you know, and if people don't want to get married and they just want to live together, hey, that's okay. They love each other. See, that's taking God's word and it's twisting it and it's deceiving. But that's the way this world is. They're trying to change God's truth. And not only that, there's so many other things. That's just first thing popped in my mind. He said, and now listen to what he said. He said, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. Now here's where he's in his folly. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. And he's saying this is foolishness. Why? Because there's only one Jesus. There's only one Spirit of God. Amen? There's only one gospel. That's why he said it's ridiculousness. Because, look, there's no other Jesus coming, there's no other Holy Ghost, and there's no other gospel message. So he said, if you find another, then maybe you ought to just go on ahead with him then. Because it's silliness. There is no other. And I'm afraid that somebody's going to draw you away after something that's not in this book. Amen. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11, chapter. Oh, it's right in the same chapter, down verse 12. Verse 12 through 15. Paul said, but what I do, that I will do. In other words, I ain't changing. That I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion. In other words, I'm going to keep on preaching, and I'm going to stop them who try to get up and deceive you. He said that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Don't mistake that. The devil has pulled a big trick over this world. The devil has deceived this world into believing that he's this ugly red creature with horns and a forked tongue and a pitchfork and a tail and hooves. He looks like the guy on the deviled ham can. And you know, if you saw that jump out, you'd say, oh no, that's the devil, let's get away. But that's not how he comes at you. The devil knows better than that. He's deceptive. He's sneaky. He wrote the book on it. Amen? I mean, he wrote the book on deception and lies. He is the father of all lies. So he is going to lie to you. He is going to deceive and present himself as a Christian. He's going to present himself as a child of God, a preacher of God, a worker of God. He wants you to believe that, hey, listen, I know what I'm saying is a little different than what others say, but listen, they just don't understand. They're wrong. He wants to deceive the hearts of the simple, the hearts and minds of the simple. And he said, therefore, it's no great thing if the devil can do it. It's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. They appear like they're just a good old preacher, just like everybody else. And he says, whose end shall be according to their works. In other words, God is going to see them burning in hell when it's all said and done. Why? What'd they do? They twisted Scripture to fit their own doctrine, to sell you a line, to make themselves look good, to make themselves powerful, to make themselves profitable. False doctrine is everywhere. Turn to Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. Paul said, I marvel. I can't believe, in other words, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Who called them into, who called them unto the gospel of Christ, the grace of Christ? Paul says, me. You just left what I taught you. I taught you the truth, and he said, I can't believe y'all left what I taught you so soon. He said, unto another gospel, which is not another. Now, what did he mean there? He said, you've turned away to another gospel, which is not another. Now, what does he mean by that? It don't make sense, you know, unless you understand what he's saying. He said, you've turned away to a different gospel, which is not the same gospel. Another meaning a different one, which is not another like the one I preach, because there is no other one like the one I preach. There is only one. He said, I can't believe that you've done that. You jumped ship. You changed horses in the middle of the stream. What are you doing? He said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Again, what does it mean to pervert it? It means to turn it into something that won't save anybody. You monkey with it, it ain't no good no more. Like I said on the way up here, it's Jesus plus nothing. Jesus minus nothing. If someone tells you, listen, you need to come down here and shake this preacher's hand, and you need to give a profession that you're saved, and then you need to let us baptize you in this church by this preacher, or you're not saved. You say, who in the world does that? The Church of Christ, the Campbellites. And if they be honest with what they teach, they tell you, if it don't happen to you in a Church of Christ church, and if you don't get baptized by a Church of Christ preacher, you're not going to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. You can get baptized over and over and over till everybody knows you've been baptized, and every tadpole in the creek knows your Social Security number backwards and forwards, and your driver's license number, and your mama's maiden name, and everything else. It ain't going to change nothing. That ain't what saves. Baptism does not save. I'm a Baptist. I believe in the ordinance of baptism, but baptism does not save. That's Jesus plus. They tell you, hey, in order for you to get saved, you got to come and give a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and you got to roll on the floor and bark like a dog, or you got to lay there and shake or tremble or get the holy laughter, or you got to talk blah, 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 a bunch of nonsense out your mouth in order to prove that you're safe. I'm telling you right now, they ain't going to get you to heaven. That's monkeying with the Bible. That ain't what God's Word says. What does the Bible say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on. Not believe in, believe on. Let's make the difference and the distinction between the two. I believe in this marker. It's here. You see it? I believe in this chair. See it? I believe it's a chair. But if I believe on it, I got to sit in it. I put all my weight on it. I'm trusting it. If I hit this concrete floor, it is because this chair failed me. It ain't because of me. It's because of the chair. It's all on the chair. My sin is all on Jesus. If I go to hell, it'd be Jesus' fault because I'm trusting him to take me to heaven, and he's not going to fail me. If I add anything else to it, I'm saying your sacrifice on the cross was not enough. Period. I don't care if that hair lips the Pope and everybody he's got working for him. That's the truth. By the way, that's another heretic out of hell, Pope Francis. And all of his cardinals and bishops along with him, they are molesting children all the way to hell. And all the nuns along with them. I'm telling you right now, God help them people. They are going to split hell wide open preaching their work salvation. All right, where was I at? All right. The gospel which is not another. They pervert the gospel of Christ. Now listen to this, verse 8. Paul says, but though we... or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, what is that saying? That's saying he can go to hell. Somebody else preaches a false gospel to you, that sucker can go to hell. That's what Paul's saying. He said, that's coarse language, preacher. Well, Paul was a little coarse. He talked about his rude speech quite often. And I tell you something, that ain't wrong to say they can go to hell. If you deny Jesus Christ, if you try to lead others to deny Jesus Christ, I'll tell them to their face, you can go to hell, buddy. Because that's where you're headed. I want you to notice that in verse 8. It says, but though we are an angel from heaven. Did you know that Islam teaches that Gabriel appeared to Muhammad? Oh, yeah. That's a big part of their religion. Gabriel supposedly appeared to Muhammad and taught him. Gabriel the angel? I don't think so. That's make-believe that they believe that. Listen, the Bible says if an angel from heaven gives you... And listen, that's exactly what that's preaching against. Can I give you another one? Mormonism. In Mormonism, supposedly Joseph Smith, who was a treasure hunter, him and his dad, who was a gypsy and a sideshow carnival act, and his mother was a fortune teller, and they were in upstate New York, and they'd go out treasure hunting and try to dig for treasure here and there, and supposedly he went out and he found these golden plates buried in the ground. Just so happened these golden plates, he couldn't understand what they said because they were written in like Egyptian hieroglyphics or something, and so this angel, Moroni, appeared to him and gave him the Urim and Thummim, which are these stones that were used in the Old Testament to help the priest discern the will of God. And don't get into that. That's more than I want to talk about right now. But anyway, supposedly the angel Moroni gave him these, and he translated this other language and these golden plates into the Book of Mormon, which ironically, what does it say? It is another testament of Jesus Christ. If anybody preach another gospel, Joseph Smith burning in hell today, folks. He preached another gospel. And the Mormons will teach you that when you die, you're going to stand before Joseph Smith. They preach that you're going to stand before Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, and Joseph Smith to be judged. Seventh-day Adventists. Their leader, Ellen G. White, she preached that she taught and preached that she saw visions of angels that told her this and told her that. Listen, you take just about any false religion, and they've had angels appear to them, teaching them and telling them things. Folks, God's seen the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. There's nothing new. It's all right here in the Word of God. And he said, as we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He can go to hell. Amen. Turn to Galatians 2, 4 and 5. Paul said, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. False brethren. They come to you, they shake your hand, they smile, they pat you on the back. They say, hey, brother, how's good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sister. Oh, we're going to be friends in the Lord. But not really. They're false. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They're after something from you. He said, who came in privily. They snuck in under deception. They told the preacher. They told a lie. Yes, we believe that gospel you're preaching. Yes, we received Christ. Yes, and they probably got baptized or said they were baptized somewhere else. They come in that way. He said they came in privily to spy out our liberty. which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Can I tell you, he's probably speaking about the Jews who came and followed him. Why? Because the Jews still preached that you had to keep the sacrifices, you had to keep the feasts, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. I mean, you had to keep all the requirements of the law. They were still teaching that. And he said, see, they come in and sneak in, and they pretend like they're believers, and then once they get in there, they start telling you, oh, don't you dare wear that with that over there, or you don't dare go with that group over there, or you don't dare eat that. You ain't saved if you do that. They start teaching that nonsense. Folks, isn't that going on today? Listen, can I tell you that there's a big influx of this Messianic Hebrew study groups, the Messianic, what they call Messianic Christians, and what do they want to do? They want to go back into all the Old Testament law, and they want to do this feast and that feast. Listen, I'm not against learning. I'm not against edifying myself and understanding what God was teaching and how these things were pointing to Christ. But listen, Christ has already come. Christ has already died. He's already been buried. He's already rose from the grave. He's already gone back to the Father. It's good to study and it's good to learn, but we don't have to go back through all that. We don't have. I've had people tell me, "You eating a ham sandwich? God ain't gonna let you into heaven." Listen, they make a mockery of our liberty in Christ. He said, "To whom we gave place by subjection." No. Not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In other words, Paul said, I didn't put up with them for an hour. I didn't tolerate it. You see, a true Christian is supposed to stand up to error. Paul didn't say, you know, I sat down there and I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to disrupt the service. I didn't want to say nothing wrong. I didn't want to make anybody mad. I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I just kept my mouth shut. Problem. That's the problem with us. Can I just share this with you without you thinking I'm getting political on you? Because I mean I'm not. But the truth of it is, this political correctness that we have in America now, this idea that you don't speak out against what's mainstream, you don't speak out against the ideology of the day, you don't speak out against anything because it's not correct to do that. That is pushed upon us not only to stop political uprisings, but also to stop people speaking up for their faith. That's the reason why there's so much in America, so much emphasis put on Muslim this and Muslim that. That's why today in America, it almost seems like you can't say anything against Muslims without people getting angry with you, but you can destroy Christians and they don't say a word. That's all by design, people. That's all by design. Paul said we didn't put up with it for an hour. Ephesians 4, turn there with me. Ephesians 4. I promise if it keeps raining, we'll either swim out or we'll boat out. Amen? We'll get out of here one way or the other. Let it rain. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. This is usually a verse that's used, a passage that's used to talk about preaching the gospel and reaching souls, and it does. But that's not exactly how we're going to look at it this morning. Verse 11, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, and he said, and he, being the Lord, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. The perfecting of the saints is maturing. In other words, to help them get to know Jesus. To help them to understand what it means to be a believer. To help them understand what it means to follow God's word exclusively. To walk in the light of this word. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why did he teach them so that they would be able to understand the mind and will of God? The perfecting of the saints. Why? For the work of the ministry. Because the saints are to do the work of the ministry. When you leave out of here, you're to be edified and go out into the world and do the work of the ministry where you are, with the people that you're around. You're to be the light of God in their world for the edifying of the body of Christ, the building up of the body of Christ, which is His church. How does that happen? Well, when I come from here with excited about the Lord and I'm able to share what God has done in my life and I'm able to share with them what He'll do for them, listen, if somebody comes to the saving knowledge of Christ and they join the church and they get in there and go to and begin serving with you, you're edifying the body of Christ. He said, till we all come in the unity of the faith. In other words, like-minded, believing the same thing. And unto the knowledge of the Son of God, getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ, getting to know Jesus, unto a perfect man. That's mature, that's grown up, that's knowing Jesus, trusting Jesus, walking with Jesus, believing Jesus, counting on Jesus, depending on Jesus. As you're all in all, you're everything. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is my all in all. He said that we henceforth, from this point forward, be no more children. Children do not make definitive decisions usually. I remember JD Mr. Martin asking you if you could be there on that conversation y'all had about you showing up down there for that music night where you were going to play your mandolin, and he asked you if you could be there on such and such a date, and you said, Mr. Martin, I'm just a kid. I don't know where I'm going to be from one Saturday night to the next. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Kids don't know. They don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go. They just go wherever they're told. And he said, listen, that we be henceforth be no more children. In other words, just saying, well, I don't know what to believe, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so anybody can lead you astray when you're like that. He wants you to grow up where you can learn to say, no, that ain't what the Bible says. No, I will not follow that. No, that's wrong. That ain't what Christ said. He wants you to grow up. Can I tell you something? Can I ask you something, young people? If you don't study the Bible and you don't get to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't know what He said or He didn't say, how are you going to be able to tell the difference between a liar and the truth teller? You don't. That's why it's important that you listen. That's why it's important you read the Bible for yourself. That's why it's important you study this book. Because if not, you'll be deceived. You know what? You'll be pulled along behind some lie somewhere. And it happens. Because I see it in the lives of people that I love. And people who give professions of faith. And I watch them go down a road that's going to lead them to heartache and hardship and destruction and pain and misery. Why? Because they're not following the Lord. That we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro. Can't make up your mind. And carried about with every wind of doctrine. It's like a feather. Feather may get picked up by a wind out of the east and blowed for a half a mile. And then all of a sudden a north wind comes and it picks it up and it sweeps it south. And then a south wind blows and it blows it. And then it turns and goes back west. I mean, that's what he's saying. Just no roots. No stability. There's people like that. There's people like that who sit at home. And they'll watch Charles Stanley for a little while. Then they'll put it on Benny Hinn for a while. Then they'll watch Paula White for a while. Then they'll put it on Kenneth Copeland for a while. They don't know what they believe. They don't know who to listen to. I see people who claim to be Bible-believing Christians who quote Joyce Meyer, who quote Kenneth Copeland, who quote Joel Osteen. It's like, why are you quoting heretics? If you're a child of God. You know why? Because they don't have their mind made up on what Jesus has said. That's why. Because if you, listen, and I'm not mad at you, and I'm not picking at you, and if you listen to them people, like them people, I'm not mad at you, but I'm telling you that those people are deceiving you. And if we grow up and mature in this word and grow close to Christ, they won't be able to deceive us anymore. It says, by the sleight of men. Men are deceptive. Men can manipulate. And cunning craftiness. They know how to use their words. How do you think a car salesman is able to take somebody and before they know it, they done signed the papers on a car they can't pay for? How'd that happen? Happens all the time. Cunning, craftiness, slick, snake oil salesman. That's what these false prophets are. Whereby they lie in wait to deceive, like a snake laying there with his head just poking out of the grass, waiting for a bare ankle to come by so they can reach out and snap out there and latch on to it. Philippians chapter 3. Keep it turning. We're still going. Philippians, the next book, the next letter. Chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Paul says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You spend time with Jesus, you will. You'll rejoice. You'll revisit your joy in the Lord. That's what it means. Rejoice in the Lord. Go back to the source of my joy. What's the source of my joy? It's my salvation. So what I do to rejoice in the Lord, I go back to the fact that He saved me. I'm washed in His blood. And when I revisit that, the joy begins to spring up again inside of me. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. He says, beware of dogs. Now, he ain't talking about canines. I want you to understand that. He's calling these people who follow him from church to church dogs. These Jews who came out of Jerusalem with the intent to destroy Paul, to destroy the ministry of Paul, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, his salvation by grace through faith in his blood alone, they have a ministry to destroy that. He says, beware of those dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That's referring to the circumcision. They want to put you back under that. He's referring to the Jews who are doing that to him. He said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. I'm not going back to the law, he said. Listen, that law can't do anything for me but show me that I'm lost. Can't save me. They want to put you back under the bondage of that, and it can't save you. He said they have no confidence in the flesh. But yet there are people, I mean, tell you, I have knocked so many doors in my life. I've talked to so many people in my life who I've stood there talking to, and I asked them, and when you died today, if you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? And they say, oh, yeah, I think so. Well, what do you base that on? Well, you know, I've been a pretty good person. I've lived a pretty good life. I hadn't done nothing wrong, nobody. I can't tell you how many times somebody has looked at me with a straight face and tried to convince me that they're going to get to heaven based on their own works and merit. Now, where did that idea come from? Did they just lay in there at night, want to wake up and dream, have a dream, wake up, oh, that's the way it's going to be. I'm going to get there by my good works. Or somebody somewhere told them that. I just don't think God would send anybody to hell. God's a loving God. The Bible says God is love. I remember hearing a woman that taught me English in high school. She's made this comment that she said, God is love. He wouldn't send anybody to hell. That's not what my Bible says. You see, you can come up with any flowery language you want. You can come up with any story you want. But the truth is in this book. And in this book, it tells me, listen, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so if you try to go in on your own, Jesus is going to say to you, I don't know you. And you don't get through unless you come through him. Turn to Colossians. I done skipped a verse. That's all right. I'll skip that. It'll be all right. Colossians chapter 2. We need to move along anyway. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 22. Y'all getting your Bible reading in today, amen? It'll be all right. I figure some people, that's all the Bible they read throughout the week anyway, so we might as well read a whole bunch, amen? Colossians 2, 16 through 22. Again, this is the same warning over and over and over and over and over through the scripture. You say, why are you reading all these verses that say the same thing? Why do they put warning signs again and again down the highway? They just put one down there, and you see it. If you don't see it, too bad. No, God don't want you to miss the warning. Colossians 2:16-22. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, what you eat, or in drink, what you drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let me explain that to you. He said these things are a shadow of things to come. He's talking about, again, Jewish. He's talking about what God established to point the Jews to Christ. The traditions, the feast, the Levitical law, all those things were to point people to their need for Christ. There were shadows, types, and pictures which showed that He is the Lamb of God. And yes, the Jewish people, they were told not to eat anything that split the hoof. There was a lot of dietary restrictions. But you know what? When Christ came and when Christ died and when Christ rose from the dead, He nailed all that to His cross, the Bible says. That list of ordinances which was contrary to us, He nailed that to His cross. It is taken away. And He says, don't let anybody judge you and say, well, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you do that, and you're not supposed to, and you do this. Listen, we're not talking about sin. We're not talking about grave sin here. We're talking about things like things you eat, things to drink. They say you gotta observe this holy day. No, I don't. And by the way, I don't have to celebrate Christmas because I don't want to. Because you know what? This is my opinion. Listen, you got yours, I got mine. I'm not gonna judge you if you do it, and I don't. But I don't celebrate Christmas. Why? Jesus didn't die December 25th. Jesus wasn't born December 25th. That's how. That's one thing. One reason right there. Second of all, God didn't tell me what Jesus' birthday was. God didn't tell me to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Santa Claus ain't Jesus. He's a representation of the devil and his deception. And candy canes don't represent shepherds, crooks, and all that. You can make anything out to be anything you want it to be. We can say, oh, the tinsel represents this and the star represents that. But listen to me. If you study it out, you'll find it all goes back to Babylonian paganism. The whole shooting match has its origin in hellish traditions and paganism. Listen, if you don't agree with me, fine. That's fine. You don't have to. I'm not going to judge you if you do it. Amen? Don't judge me if I don't. I got liberty in Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. It ain't about some day when people wrap up presents and give to each other. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving presents to you people you love. But listen, let's don't pretend that God told us to do all that stuff, because He didn't. God never told you to decorate a tree with gold and silver and put it in your house. God never told you to go ho, ho, ho and wear a Santa Claus suit. God never told you to take your kids to the mall and have their picture made on Santa's lap. God never told you that reindeer could fly. Amen? God never, ever, ever told us to adore bunny rabbits and chocolate. You know why there's Easter eggs and Easter bunnies? Because those are fertility gods. Those are fertility gods that hearken back to Ishtar, Ostray, however you want to say it, the queen of heaven, the queen of Babylon, Semiramis. I'm not going to go down that whole road, but listen to me. People lose their minds when you tell them, oh, I don't celebrate Easter. What? And you're a preacher? No, I don't. I celebrate the resurrection of my Savior each and every day that I live. I don't have to have one calendar day set aside for me to do that. I'm saved every day. I'm thankful for what He did for me every day. I don't have to do that on one particular day. Listen, I'm thankful that He came into this world and was born, but it's not His birth that was so important. It's His death. I mean, I glory in the fact that He came into this world and He was born of a virgin. I glory in the fact that was just as according to Scripture, as according to prophecy. I glory in that, the fact that He did do it exactly like He said He was going to do it, but He never said, hey, let's got to send out Christmas cards. Nope. That makes people money. Y'all realize that? That's a money-making thing. That's why it's pushed. You realize if it wouldn't have been for Coca-Cola, people probably wouldn't even know who Santa Claus was in the Western world. I'm going to go on. I'm not going to hang there. We got to get done with this message. He said, let no man beguile you with your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. I'm going to say this too, and I may make somebody mad with this, but that's okay. You know what? I'll risk it because I love you. There are no female angels, period. 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 Not a single one. And every little figurine that anybody ever put on a shelf of a woman with angel wings is pagan. It comes from devilish things. It's true. There ain't no female angels flapping their wings watching over you. Listen, every angel in the Bible mentioned is male. Not that they are male in gender, but they are referenced as male. Angels walk among us. The Bible says we've entertained them unawares. They have no flapping wings. Doesn't mean they don't have wings in reality, but not as we see. But angels are not these little feminine things. And we're not to put them on a shelf and adore them. Amen. He said, and not holding the head, that's Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. In other words, all of us believe in the same thing. God gives us what we need. And wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, in other words, we're saying, I don't care what this world does. This world can rot and die and go to hell. For all I care, if they try to lead me away from Jesus, I'm going to stick with what I believe the Bible to teach me. I'm going to stick with what God has shown me. And the world can change and believe what it wants to and do what it wants to, but I'm going to stay right here on this. Amen? He said, why if you be dead from the rudiments of the world with Christ, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, and after the commandments and doctrines of men. Why would people follow after traditions and doctrines of men, things that men made up, things that men hold as important, and God does not? Warning, warning, warning. People fall into these patterns. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I got good news. I'm getting closer. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Why? Because they were teaching other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. People were beginning to come up with hypotheses for this, and maybe that, this theory and that theory, and bring it. And I'm assuming by when he says fables, they were probably bringing in Jewish tradition into their Christianity. You've heard of the Talmud? You ever heard of the Talmud, the Jewish book, the Talmud? That is heresy. If you bring that in, call that Christianity. Those are Jewish old wives' tales for the most part. It's Jewish witchcraft for the most part. That's not Bible. That's where you get the, what was that stuff that people used to wear the red string around their wrist? What was that called? I can't even remember now. What was that called? Anybody remember? Kabbalah. That's out of the Jewish Talmud. That nonsense Madonna was all caught up in and other celebrities. That's some fables that they talk about. And I ain't got time. I'm gonna skip over some things. But anyway, he says. Let me read verse 5 and 6. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. That's what this is all about. It's about loving other people and wanting to see them saved and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, real faith. From whence some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They don't even know what they're talking about. Amen. Turn to 1 Timothy 4. We know this passage. I know you know this passage. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what's happening today. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. They say one thing and do another. They lie. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. How does a man say, Jesus wants me to tell you that he wants you to send your seed offering of $1,000 to the word of whatever ministry, and God will give you a blessing. You'll get a check in your mailbox. You order this miracle spring water I got from Russia, and God's going to answer your prayer and give you money. Listen, that's Peter Popoff. That's what he promises. He's a false prophet. He's been caught in his lies. He's been caught in his schemes. They're all like that, folks. They're all like that. All of these big-shot televangelists, they're all like that. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron. They don't feel bad about ripping off God's people. Forbidding to marry. Well, that's the Catholic Church, isn't it? Nuns can't marry. Priests can't marry. Forbidding to marry. Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There's your Judaizers still. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused. There it is right there in the Bible. Y'all see that? No, that's Bacon right there, folks. I'm sorry. It makes some people come from Judaism very nervous. You start talking about serving ham and bacon. But pile it high for me. God made it all right. Amen. And I thank God for every bit of it. Amen. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. But if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, superstitions. What he's talking about? And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Live for God. Don't be scared and spooky about everything. Follow the Lord. Trust His Word. Don't believe nonsense and lies and things. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. We're getting so close to the end. I know I'm just running a little long this morning, but it'll be all right. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. For this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Not God, but their own selves. Covetous, you know what, they want that money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Filthy mouth, don't they? They talk against God. Disobedient to parents. Y'all kids better look at that right there. That's what God throws that right in the middle of the pile. Unthankful. Don't even appreciate what's been. How many times you heard somebody, a parent, tell a kid that? You don't appreciate nothing I've done for you. You know what? That's that spirit that abounds. That's wicked stuff. Unholy. Without natural affection. When a woman, pregnant woman, marches into an abortion clinic, a murder mill, and has a doctor reach inside of her womb and puncture a baby's skull and vacuum his brains out because she didn't want to deal with the pregnancy, listen to me, that's murder. That's straight out of the pit of hell. That's those without natural affection. When a man lusts after another man to do filthy, vile things with him, when a woman leaves the use of a man and turns to another woman to satisfy her desires, that is filthy and out of the pit of hell. Amen. God says they're without natural affection. When a woman leaves her newborn baby in a dumpster, that's without natural affection. When parents lock their kids in a closet and starve them to death and beat them, that's without natural affection. Folks, we're living in that world. I'm sorry. I know it hurts our ears to hear these things. But let's be honest. We're living in this world today. Truth breakers. You can't believe anybody in Washington, D.C. They're all liars out of the pit of hell. They'll sell you down the river for a nickel. They're all truth breakers. False accusers. Got that going on today, too. Incontinent. They can't control themselves. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. They hate somebody preach the truth to them. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They'd rather sit home and watch something on TV than go to church and hear a gospel message. They'd rather go somewhere and go to the lake and play. They'd rather go fishing rather than hear God's word preached on Sunday. But it says, listen to this. Listen, don't miss it. Having a form of godliness. Oh, I'm a religious person, y'all. I'm a religious person. I go to church every now and then. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. My grandpa was a preacher. They'll give you every excuse in the world. I've heard them all. Just because Pawpaw used to go to church don't make you a Christian. Oh, my mama raised me in church. That don't mean you're a Christian. You can put a skunk in that oven back here. It won't make him a biscuit, I promise you. You can put an unbeliever in church. It will not make them a Christian. You can raise them up singing Amazing Grace and holding a King James Bible and saying amen. But if they don't get under the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God, if somebody doesn't pray for their lost soul, if somebody doesn't give them Jesus Christ laid out in front of them where they understand that they, on their works, they're going straight to hell, if they don't understand that it's only by His atonement and His grace that they have any way, any hope of getting to heaven, then they are going to split hell wide open. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's power in this book, folks. There's more power in this book than every nuclear weapon ever created. And all the uranium and plutonium to create more. This book here, out of this book came the world we live on. And everything else around it. And every one of us. This is where we came from. This book right here. Prove it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Period. Whew. He says, have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. Don't spend your time worrying with them. Get away from it. Rebuke it and leave. Rebuke it and walk away. There are people, listen to me, there are people who are staying in dead churches that are dried up and is cold and lifeless that have got Ichabod wrote over the door. Why? Because grandma is buried in the cemetery next to it. I say dig grandma up and move her somewhere else. Don't stay there and let your soul rot because somebody's buried somewhere. 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I'm going to stop right there on this, and I'm going to move on and close up with, because I want you to understand something. I got plenty more I could preach. I got plenty more scripture I could give, but you know what? We're going to want to go home eventually. So I'm going to hurry up and close these thoughts. Listen to me. I told you there's warning after warning after warning after warning. But I want you to understand something. These false teachers, they are deceptive as they can be. The Bible tells us that. They try to appear to be something that they aren't. And in doing this, what we just read, both deceiving and being deceived. And that means that they themselves have been deceived by the devil. They think they're fine. They think they're okay. They're lied to and they believe it. And they believe it so much that they have no problem deceiving others because they done bought into the lie themselves. And we've read verse after verse after verse which has described their deceptive character. Listen, by their fruits you shall know them, right? Amen. That's the third point. Amen. You see how quickly we got through that second one just then? Now we're on to the third. They're known by their fruits. Again, we read Matthew 7, 16 and 18 as we started off this morning. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, about the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. A false teacher doesn't have the Spirit of God. A false teacher cannot speak in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruit of a false teacher is particularly his doctrinal heresies, the things that he tries to teach you that are not true and not out of the Bible. In Acts 20:30, I'll just quote you some scriptures real quick. Also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things, those damnable heresies that they preach, to draw disciples after them. Romans 16:17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Don't turn that television on that channel again and watch that liar. Don't sit and listen to that woman preacher telling you some nonsense. Turn that junk off and get your Bible out, and you meet with God personally. Galatians 1, 6 through 8, he said, I marvel that you are so soon turned from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. In the end, false prophets betray themselves for what they are by their doctrines and their works. They tell off on themselves. They're wolves in sheep's clothing, and they produce thorns and thistles. Thorns and thistles are emblems of the curse. You remember that? When God told Adam, thorns and thistles, that's what the ground's going to bring forth because of his sin. You see? That's what Jesus is saying. That's the evidence. False prophets are cursed of God. We read that. The Lord said they'll eventually be hewn down and cast into the fire. That's what Matthew 7:19 says. And lastly, we're going to look at verses 21 through 23 of our text, Matthew 7. 21 through 23. The Lord ends the section of Scripture with a sharp warning against unsaved Christians. You say, unsaved Christians? What do you mean by that? I mean those who pretend to be believers but aren't. Maybe they've deceived themselves and made themselves believe that they're believers. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I used to read the scripture. It used to make me very nervous. It used to scare me when I'd read it. But we're going to make sense of it. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We preached. Every time I read that, you know what I think of? I think of after Benny Hinn has swung his coat around and knocked down about 15,000 people and blowed them to touch with his bad breath, and he's knocked the choir down, he's knocked the musicians down, he's knocked the men who's supposed to be catching everybody down, he's knocked the crowd down, and he says, in Jesus' mighty name. That's what I think about. I think that little Middle Easterner is going to pop and sizzle when he hits the fires of hell. We prophesied in thy name, and in thy name it cast out devils. I think about that TVN crowd and its lies that they pumped out year after year, Paul Crouch and his group of clowns. I've seen people on there talking about they've raised people from the dead. I'm sorry, but that's a lie out of the pit of hell. There's been one that was raised from the dead by God himself. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow's son. But that's Christ himself doing it. That ain't some Smith Wigglesworth or that redheaded missionary from Africa I saw on TV one time or whoever else says it. I saw just the other day where some pastor in Africa claimed he could walk on water and he was eaten by crocodiles. These people like that ever. I saw on Facebook somewhere where there is a pastor in Africa who's selling bottles that's supposed to be Jesus' blood. Yeah. Bottled up in plastic bottles for sale. I guess people are really stupid over there. I don't know. They must be. But you know what? I see people in America fall in behind Peter Popoff. And think about, oh, what was his name over in Dallas? Robert Tilton. Remember him years ago? Hey, people falling after that nut. He had enough ministry. He was able to rake in a lot of dough. There's a lot of people sitting at home who are scared to death they're going to die and go to hell. And they think, this is my only hope. I'll send him some money. Maybe he can fix it for me. They don't know God. Right. He says, many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Oh, there's going to be people say, but Lord, I'll help the Salvation Army. I gave to the United Way. I gave a tithe. I did this. I did that. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I used to read those words, and it used to cause me to have a little tremble in me because I thought, oh, I hope and pray that I really believed. Oh, and the devil would take it, and he'd make me nervous about it. He'd make me say, did you really mean it when you asked him? Did you really? Look at what you've done. You fell down. You can't be saved. Oh, he'll start in on you, and he'll take you down a spiral that'll take you to a dark place. I'm here to tell you. But listen to me, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I die and go to heaven. You think I'm going to stand up and try to convince God all the good things I've done in my life? Let me into heaven. God, I've been a good person. You think I'm going to get up there and start talking about all the sermons I preached for him? That's why y'all let me in, God. I've been a preacher. No. I'm going to tell him, in my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. You see, all that's the product of false teaching. All of these people who said these things to him. Lord, we preached. Well, that don't get you into heaven. Lord, we cast out devils. Well, that won't get you into heaven. We done works, Lord. That won't get you into heaven. Can I give you some good news this morning? I'm going to close with some good news. He said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Hear me. If Jesus Christ has ever known you, he can never say to you, I never knew you. If you have trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you have put your faith, like I showed you with this sitting on this chair, if you said to the Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've sinned against God. And Lord, I turn to you and I put my faith in you and I trust you and I believe on you. And it's all you, Jesus. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. I'm putting it all on you. That's what to believe on means. It means to totally rely on Jesus, totally depend on Jesus, totally trust in Jesus and nothing else but Jesus Christ. That's the only way you'll ever stand before the Father is through Jesus Christ. When you stand before the Father, if you've been washed in his blood, you are as pure as he is before God the Father. God the Father will give you and share with you the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ himself if you've been washed in that blood. It's not based on how good you are or what you've done or what you've said. It's based on what he did. If he ever knew you, he still knows you. I'm going to close with this verse and I'm done. John 10:27-28, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know why? They ain't going to follow no other man. They're his. I'm his. You ain't going to deceive me away from him, because I'm walking with him. I'm getting to know him, and I'm going to stick with him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the warning. Thank you, Lord, for the rejoicing we have in the fact that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We saved by his grace. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each one that stayed with me to the end. Lord God, I pray your blessing be upon them. I pray, Lord, for the one that's lost in sin. Lord, that this be the day of them turning to Christ and believing and getting born again. Lord, I pray today for the ones who've been deceived. Lord, maybe they've been led astray. Father, I pray this be the day they turn from the wickedness that's been preached to them and taught them. Lord, they turn from the perverseness of false teaching. And Lord, they believe on Christ and they be born again. And Lord, this be the day they begin to warn others of the false teaching, Lord, to come out from among them and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. Father, I'm thankful today. And Lord, I ask you to bless each one. Oh, Lord, may we put our faith and our trust in Jesus. May we walk with him, keep our eyes on him, believing every word that comes out of the mouth of God and walking in the paths that have been set before us. I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray your blessing be upon us as we go about our week. Lord, may we be mindful of the needs of others. May, Lord, we be mindful of those who need Christ. May we stand for truth and stand against error. May we judge by their fruits only. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that you teach us to examine ourselves, that we examine our own self and our own fruits, Lord, that will make sure that we're honoring you and pleasing unto you. And, Lord, we just thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.